the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. There's one phrase in the second reading that we had. The power of the Holy Spirit was upon them to give witness to the resurrection. The power of the Holy Spirit was upon them to give witness to the resurrection. I hope we'll get there. I think we're going to get there at the end of this. This is the Feast of Pentecost. And this is, of course, the day when there was this mighty wind which betokens the presence of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit was poured out upon the gathered disciples. Mary and the apostles were gathered together. They were waiting as Jesus had commanded from power on high, from the Holy Spirit to come upon them. Spirit and wind are the same word in both Greek and Hebrew. So the wind is a sign that the Holy Spirit is there. And the Holy Spirit is also a fire. It's a fire that enkindles love in the heart, love for God and love for neighbors. And so the flames of fire on the heads of the apostles, they're an outward sign of the fire of the Holy Spirit that's coming into their hearts to increase their love for God and then to increase their love for each other and to increase their love for those who have not heard the good news of the resurrection, and to give them power to be witnesses to the resurrection. 44 years ago on the Feast of Pentecost, it was actually June the 7th in 1981, so it was yesterday. I always keep the anniversary of my ordination to the priesthood on the Feast of Pentecost. And I want to tell you a story about it and say something about the holy orders of the church, the deacons, the priests, the bishops, and about the communication of the Holy Spirit through the church's clergy to the church's people. So here's the story. In 1981, uncharacteristically in northern Maine, in Mars Hill, Maine. Mars Hill, Maine is, if you go as far north in the state of New Hampshire as you can go and draw a line across into the state of Maine and then go 180 miles north of that line, you'll get to Mars Hill, Maine. It's right on the Canadian border. The joke is that it's not the end of the world, but it can be seen from there. Little tiny town, 2,000 people, 22 churches. People in that town went to church. And St. Anne's Mission. St. Anne's Mission had been a chicken house that had been drug across the ice in the wintertime and set up on cedar posts and beautified with pressed tin on the inside. It was a very beautiful place to me. We crowded 122 people into the little church. It was uncharacteristically hot. It doesn't usually get hot in northern Maine, even in the summertime, but it was uncharacteristically hot. There was a very dry wind blowing. And there had also been an infestation of army worms. It was early summer, late spring, early summer. It was very, very beautiful. But also there was a devastation. The leaves had all been eaten up. It spoke to me of a world that is God's beautiful world, but is also a world that is eaten up, devastated. And this dry wind was blowing. So we had a lot of clergy, a couple of dozen, ecumenical. And this little mission church had just a kind of a large closet for a vestry. And in the vestry was a mirror. And all the clergy, wanting to look their best, were trying to crowd in front of this mirror and get their hair to lay down. Dry wind doesn't make itself conducive to hair lying down. Everybody's hair was crackling with static electricity. The priest that sponsored me for ordination was a man named Father Richard Watson. He was a genuinely holy man. He'd been a missionary in the Virgin Islands and in some ways never recovered from that. He couldn't get over the depth of piety in the Virgin Islands and the relative lack of piety amongst many of the people that he served. And he was, as many rather holy people are, he was mischievous and constantly with a twinkle in his eye, and would do things that were both very moving and very humorous at the same time. And so we're all trying to look neat and tidy, and the dry wind and the static electricity is not helping in any way at all. Father Watson comes in to the vestry, and instead of trying to get his hair to lie down and be neat and manageable, he's pushing it up into a peak. And this his hair is in a peak, and it's crackling with electricity. And he has this beatific smile on his face. And he says, this must have been what it was like on the first Pentecost. And then he reached out to me, and a spark of electricity that big jumped from him to me. Never forget it. The holy orders of the church, the ordained ministers of the church, exist for one reason only. That the spark of faith, the fire of the Holy Spirit, might jump from one Christian heart to another. And that as the fire descended upon the heads of the first disciples at that first Pentecost, that's what the bishop's mitre reminds us of, you know. As the fire descended upon the heads of the first disciples at the first Pentecost, the fire of the Holy Spirit would descend into our hearts and inflame us with Christ's love for the Father and his love for his brothers and sisters and for the other sheep that he talks about, other sheep I have that are not of this fold, and I must gather them also, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. The holy deacons exist so that the fire of the Holy Spirit would ignite our hearts, set them on fire with Christ's love and care for the poor, the sick, and the lonely. The holy priesthood exists that the fire of the Holy Spirit would inflame the hearts of the priestly people. You are a royal nation, a kingdom of priests, St. Paul says. The holy priesthood exists so that the fire of the Holy Spirit would inflame the hearts of the priestly people with Christ's love for his Father, his worship of his Father, and his witness to his Father. That his priestly people would offer sacrifices of praise and thanksgiving and take the blessing with which they've been blessed and bless others. The fellowship of the Holy Spirit, the church, the communion of the saints, and it's a communion that includes the living and the dead, exists to sustain us in our life in Christ as we hand on to each other and to an unbelieving world that which we have received. There's a secret about this life, life in the Holy Spirit. This life that is ministered to by the sacred ministers. So there can be a sacred people. There's a secret about this powerful, this electrifying life. You become more aware of it and more aware of the power of it. They receive power to witness to the resurrection. You become more aware of it and more aware of the power of it, more aware of the power of it working in you, in and through the church. You become more aware of the Holy Spirit, who is the first fruits of redemption, the first fruits of the new creation, as you give the faith away, as you give your witness to the new life in God, the life of the resurrection, the life in, with, and through Jesus Christ that begins now that the grave cannot hold. When the moment comes, St. Paul says, do not be ashamed to give an account of the faith that is in you. You don't need to be making a nuisance of yourself. You don't need to be forcing yourself on people. But the moment will come, and it will come again and again, when you should not be ashamed, when we should not be ashamed to give an account of the faith that is in us, to give what we have been given and to give it away. When that moment comes, do not be afraid. It can be an electrifying moment. It can be electrifying both for you and for the receiver. It can be a coming alive in spirit. It can be on both, it can be to be on both the receiving end and the giving end of something quite electrifying. In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.